After dropping the atomic bomb, the B-29, Dave's dream, returns to her base at Kwajalein. Not far behind are the Air Force photographic planes with a film record of one of the most amazing and spectacular events in the annals of history. Cameras are removed from the planes and the exposed film forwarded to photographic centers for processing and distribution. B-17 Air Force drones land at Eniwetok. These planes guided through the center of the cloud column gathered radioactive dust particles in large filter bags suspended from bomb racks. The deadly radioactive dust bags are removed and carried to laboratories for testing and analyzing. Navy F-6F drones, flown back from Bikini by mother control planes, prepare to land at Roy Island. When the drones near the ground, air control is switched to the ground control officer at the edge of the flight strip who lands the pilotless aircraft. Like the Air Force drones, the Navy fighters carried air scoops containing special filter papers for determining the concentration of radioactivity in the cloud column. Crews removing the dangerously radioactive materials were carefully indoctrinated in the procedure of handling such objects in order to avoid lethal burns from the fission products, deadly gamma and beta rays. Meanwhile at Bikini, inspection parties make a preliminary appraisal of the damage to the target fleet. Burning from fires started by the low-order detonation of torpedo warheads is the aircraft carrier Independence. The light carrier was heavily damaged. The blast struck the ship on the port quarter, warped, buckled, and carried away light plating, and pushed up the flight deck so that it looked like a rooftop. The Independence class carriers are built on lightly constructed cruiser-type hulls, which accounts in part for the heavy damage. Aircraft carrier Saratoga was undamaged except for a small fire in supply stores. The battleship Nevada, target ship of the array, suffered moderate superstructure damage and the deck aft was buckled. The paint on one side was scorched, but did not burn. The period between the Test Able and Test Baker experiments was an extremely busy one. The immense task of making detailed and comprehensive inspections, recording data, and reorienting the entire target fleet for the underwater test was completed. During this time, Vice Admiral Blandy flew to Ronjerik to see King Judah, ruler of Bikini. During the friendly visit, the Admiral presented King Judah with several gifts. At sea, aboard the aircraft carrier Sador, a naval photographic officer briefs the photographic plane pilots and lens experts who will photograph the Baker Day blast. Also taking off from the carrier are control planes that will guide the radio-controlled drone boats. In Bikini Lagoon, radiological reconnaissance boats directed from low-flying aircraft will be used as safety patrol vessels. Immediately after the blast, these drone boats, equipped with special instruments to record radioactivity, will be guided through the target area to capture samples of water and air. Determining the concentration of deadly radioactive particles is of the utmost importance, since invisible gamma and beta rays kill without warning. Aboard the firing ship, USS Cumberland Sound, the Los Alamos crew for the Manhattan Engineer District enter the timing laboratory where the radio transmitters and specially constructed instruments for detonating the bomb are located. The timing laboratory scientists pass into the master control room. Dr. Marshall Holloway, leader of the Los Alamos group, unlocks and personally throws one of the master transmitter switches. The timing laboratory is a complex interlocking system of radio transmitters, timing recorders, and scientific apparatus. As each hour approaches, generators are started, transmitters warmed up, graph cards on time recorders changed, and everything made ready for the blast. Each hour, minus 2 minutes, is broadcast from the ship, and all hands stand by. Sitting at the central console switchboard with a microphone is Dr. Ernest Titterton, assistant to Dr. Holloway. As he announces each hour, minus 30 seconds, Dr. Holloway throws the 30-second switch. Dr. Titterton at the automatic firing panel board prepares to broadcast the last 15 seconds.
15. 10. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1. Fire.
These pictures of the descending water column show the expanding cloud of spray and fog at the base of the column moving outward and covering the ships in the target array. Great quantities of radioactive water from the column descended upon the decks of the nearby vessels, and ship hulls a mile away were drenched by the wall of foaming water. This wall of lethal spray and fog eventually covered the entire target fleet. The next scene is a spectacular aerial view taken from directly over the blast. Here is one of the drone airplanes flying over the target fleet after the blast. Photographic planes return from Bikini and land on their floating bases at sea. Cameras are removed and the exposed film forwarded to the Naval Photographic Center in Washington, D.C. for processing. Despite the presence of radioactivity, safety patrols immediately enter the lagoon for a preliminary appraisal of the damage. In an effort to reduce dangerous contamination, ships were sprayed with water and special chemicals so that inspection parties could board them. The destroyer Hughes, her hull ruptured by the blast action, was beached on Enyu Island in sinking condition. Admiral Blandy, General Kepner, and Admiral Parsons survey the damage in the target array. Shown here is the Japanese battleship Nagato, which flooded and capsized 5 days after the blast. Seven and a half hours after the explosion, the aircraft carrier Saratoga, Grand Old Fighting Lady, sank as a result of heavy underwater hull damage. It must be remembered that the primary purpose of the Bikini experiments was to secure precise technical information which will be used to determine necessary changes in the design and construction of all military equipment and especially Navy vessels required to maintain your Navy at maximum effectiveness. We must be fully prepared to protect our national security promptly and effectively in the event that we are attacked. We must defend ourselves against this new and elemental force or be destroyed by it. This is Crossroads.